You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking through the final principle tied to the encouragement pillar, and that means we've covered so much. We covered the history and the foundations and the rationale and the four pillars, now the principles. And so now we can dive into some of the themes and lots of other in the moment type of skills, you know, such as stages in therapy and how to communicate to parents and all of that. So finally moving out of the deep background and curriculum, and then we'll be able to move into more applications. So very excited. But the final one is encourage creativity and freedom. And then there's a dot, dot, dot. With freedom comes responsibility. So we are always going to encourage freedom and creativity in the playroom, but with that freedom comes responsibility. Now, I appreciate that they don't use the word but in this principle because, you know, we know as therapists that anything you say before the but gets negated, right? So I understand that you're just trying to blah, 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 but it essentially says, yeah, I'm discounting everything that I just said. So the ellipsis is in there instead. So encourage creativity and freedom, dot, dot, dot. Freedom, with freedom comes responsibility. So let's look at some facets of this principle together. So first and foremost, we have to consider the child's autonomy, because when we are using encouragement in the playroom and the principle of encouragement, autonomy goes along with that. Secondly, the concept that actions have consequences. And we'll talk through that a little bit more in depth. And obviously the self-regulation piece is tied in as well. So we'll break down those three things together, and I think that you'll have a pretty good understanding of what this looks like practically speaking, because yes, of course, we say we encourage and we want our children to be creative and have freedom, but then there are implications with that as well. So we kind of have to balance both sides. All right, so let's look at the autonomy piece. So when we begin with a child, and as we continue to have sessions with them, obviously the phrase that we say to them, right, is, okay, this is our special playtime and you can play with all the toys in most of the ways that you'd like. So from day one, minute one, we are communicating, you have autonomy. So you can do anything that you want to do in here within reason, but we don't say that at the beginning, right? So going back to the limit setting, limits are only needed when they're needed. So we don't say you can do anything you want in here with the exception of A, B, C, D, E. Because the goal is for the child to have autonomy and freedom and be able to express themselves. So when we are encouraging, when we are helping them find that creativity and freedom, it is rooted in self-esteem, because we can't neglect to acknowledge that when we use the encouragement pillar, it is self-esteem building. So that autonomy and that freedom and that creativity is built out of the work of self-esteem, but it is also built out of the autonomy that's given. And what we're essentially saying when we are encouraging creativity and freedom is, I trust you. So I trust the work you need to do. I trust you to self-control. I trust you to regulate. I trust you to comply with necessary limits. I trust you to know yourself and self-actualize in your way, your time, right? I'm providing the time, the tools, and the opportunity, and then you take it from there. Here's your autonomy. Go. Okay. So with that encouragement of creativity and freedom, and we're saying, hey, anything that you need to do, you can do. The ellipsis then comes into play here, because then we say, but actions have consequences. So with freedom comes responsibility. Yes, you have freedom, you have autonomy, but that by default involves responsibility, and there are consequences to things. So when we are encouraging a child to explore and have the autonomy, the creativity, the freedom, we are essentially giving them control over the environment. So as they're making choices with that freedom and control they've been given, there are outcomes tied to those choices. And if you're needing a little bit of a refresher, go back and listen to the choice giving pillar and the principles that go along with choice giving, because these two are related. So you have the choice of what is happening in here, but with those choices, there are outcomes. And of those outcomes, there needs to be ownership, because let's talk through a scenario. So child with this freedom and autonomy and space that you're providing, child throws a drumstick at your head. So that was a choice. With the freedom, with the autonomy, came the choice to throw something at you. The outcome was it hit you and hurt you. With that outcome, there must be ownership over the action of throwing at your head. Now, oftentimes, dysregulated children will skirt responsibility. They will pretend that they wasn't them. I didn't do that. Oh, that didn't actually hurt you. They will blame the drumstick. They will blame you. You shouldn't have been in my way. You knew I was going to throw that. You got right in the way of my throw. So early on, dysregulated kids do not have the capacity to take ownership. Easily, at least. They always have the capacity to, but they choose not to. But with ownership, whether they choose to have it or not, they now have to accept what comes from that choice. So it's essentially this very complicated path that they're on when you are encouraging creativity and freedom, but with that freedom comes responsibility. There's all of this inner work that's taking place for the child, because the child is saying, wow, I can do whatever I want in here. I have all this freedom. I have all this space. I have all this opportunity. I have all this permission. I get to do whatever I want. When I do something reckless or crazy or hurtful or dangerous or whatever, there are outcomes that come with that decision. Lesson number one. Then with the outcome, I have to accept that that happened and that I'm responsible for that. Lesson number two. And then therefore, I now have to deal with and accept the end of this snowball. So really, really powerful things that are going on when we give the space, but then help them understand that that doesn't mean carte blanche, do whatever you want, and there's no repercussions. That's not the way the world works. And a child can't develop self-control and self-regulation if they don't have the opportunity to practice doing those things. So then finally, the self-regulation piece comes in. Because remember, when we were talking about encouragement, that is self-esteem building. So we are saying, I trust you, right? But self-regulation comes when the child begins to trust themselves. And that is a powerful shift, because you're giving them the space and the freedom with the trust to handle things. Now, they won't handle things appropriately early on. That's a given. But over time, you continue to unconditionally love, unconditionally accept, and trust them. And they start to say, she trusts me, so therefore I can trust myself. And I'm proving that I'm trustworthy. And I'm proving that I'm capable of self-regulation. And I'm proving that I can operate within boundaries. And I can learn that choices have outcomes. And I have to have ownership and therefore accept what happens. So it is an I trust you blanket that is thrown over this, so that the child then says, and now I trust myself. So encourage creativity and freedom, and with freedom comes responsibility. Very powerful. There's a lot of deep inner work that takes place when this principle is applied. So not that you necessarily have to explicitly state this, not that you have to use this as a skill-based intervention, but in your mind, you're constantly providing an environment where you are encouraging the creativity and freedom, but then you are insisting upon the responsibility that aligns with that creativity and freedom that you've provided. And that means sometimes we set limits and sometimes there are consequences and sometimes the child chooses something you would have not chosen for them. You've chosen not to have the drumsticks for the rest of the session because you chose to throw them at my head. Sometimes they have to learn how to operate, but all along the while you're saying, I trust you, so that they learn to trust themselves. So I hope that's helpful. Yay, we are done with the principles tied to the pillars. We've come so far. Thank you so much for hanging out with me each week. Thank you for sharing with me. Please email me. I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. And I look forward to talking with you again next week. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.